Turn with me now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Last week we looked together at verses 10 to 17 as Jesus explains the reason for parables, which is couched right in the middle of the parable of the sower. And so this morning we're going to look together at the parable of the sower itself. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then if you'll look at verse 18 to 23, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that the primary means of grace by which one enters into the kingdom of heaven is through the faithful preaching of God's word. How did John the Baptist prepare the way for the ministry of Jesus? In Matthew 3, verse 1, we read, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." And already in the very next chapter, in Matthew 4, 17, we read, "From that time, Jesus began to preach." The Great Commission is a command to make disciples of all nations. How? Preaching and teaching. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaimed the word with boldness. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, ministers are commanded to preach the word. Why preaching? Because preaching is the primary means by which one enters into the kingdom of God. Listen to what we read in Romans 10, 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How did Lydia come to know Christ and enter into the kingdom? The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Confessionally, in Lord's Day 25, the question is asked, where does that faith come from? And we confess the Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. And in the Canons of Dort, section 3, 4, article 6, we read, "What therefore neither the light of nature nor the law can do, God accomplishes by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word or the ministry of reconciliation." But then, why don't all who hear the word preached believe and enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is there no power in the Word to convict? Is there something wrong with the methodology of preaching itself? Well, here in the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that the reason that people do not enter the kingdom of heaven is not the problem with the efficacy or the power of the Word or the methodology with preaching. So what's the problem? Well, Jesus answers that question here in the parable of the kingdom, or the parable of the sower. And so let's proceed under the theme, entrance to the kingdom of heaven is through preaching, noting the four differing soil types upon which preaching falls: the hard heart, the shallow heart, the worldly heart, and the receptive heart. In verses 1 to 9, Jesus proceeds to tell a great multitude a parable. It's a simple story. And so whether you are a farmer or not, it's very easy to comprehend. Everyone can relate to it. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't have seed drills with an 80-foot boom that injected seed directly into the ground. Rather, the farmer, with a bag of seed hung over his shoulders, would simply walk up and down the fields and just broadcast the seed up and down his field. Hand-tossing the seed, it's impossible for the farmer to control exactly where that seed falls. And so first, there are some seed that quite naturally will fall by the wayside, which would immediately get eaten up by the birds. And second, some seed will fall on stony places where young tender plant will quickly spring to life. Because of the shallow soil, there are no deep roots, and just as quickly, the plant will wither and die under the heat of the sun. And third, some seed will fall among the thorns. In due time, thorns take over and choke out the good plant, killing it. Fourth, some seed falls on good soil, producing a various yield. Jesus finishes with that. And he concludes, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." End of story. And for the great multitude who heard the earthly story, that's all they heard. An intriguing story about the realities of farming in the days of Jesus. We would ask, did Jesus miss out on a golden opportunity to present the gospel? Not really. As we noted last week, according to God's purpose in election, there were those who weren't given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And in accordance with the prophecy of Isaiah, the people's rejection of Jesus is an indictment against them, and now a sign of God's divine judgment and punishment, that seeing they did not see, and hearing they did not hear, nor do they understand. The truth of the kingdom is concealed from them. But to the disciples, to the followers of Jesus, the truth of the kingdom of the parable would be revealed to them by Jesus. According to God's purpose in election, the disciples and all of God's elect have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So what now is the meaning of the parable of the sower? Well, Jesus would later explain how one enters into the kingdom of heaven by way of the word preached, and why others would hear that same word but would fail to enter. Here in the parable of the sower, the preacher preaches the word to four differing soil types. What is the soil? The soil is the heart of man. Even though the word is faithfully preached, Not all who hear will necessarily receive the word in true faith by which to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Interestingly, there are three of the four soil types produce no harvest. So what's the first soil type? The hardened heart. Listen again to verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. As the word of God is preached indiscriminately throughout the entire world, a lot of that seed is instantly swooped up by the devil himself. How so? The seed, the word preached, falls upon hardened hearts. And because of the hardness of heart, the gospel of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus never takes root in that hardened heart. Noah preached for the 120 years that he was busy building the ark. That seed fell on hardened soil. Jesus preached for 3.5 years. And at the end of those 3.5 years, all he had to show for it was a handful of faithful disciples. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Jews of Jesus' day refused to listen and to understand as that seed was faithfully proclaimed to them, but fell on hardened hearts. And indeed, we continue to come across such people all the time, don't we? They hear the gospel preached, or sometimes they're even our very own neighbors to whom we've witnessed sometimes for many years. We brought them the gospel faithfully, and nothing, nothing. They're even the nicest of people, and yet the seed fell by the wayside. It fell on hardened hearts. With bulletproof-like hearts, the gospel just seemed to bounce off, never penetrating any deeper, any further. And that seed is quickly swooped away by the devil. Sometimes such people exist, perhaps in even our own churches. Some perhaps come to church only because they're forced out of, or maybe out of mere custom and tradition, and the word, as faithfully as it may be preached, never really penetrates their hearts and lives. Others come only perhaps for the social part of church life, and they endure the preaching because that's what kind of comes along with it. But it never goes any deeper than here. For some, they hear the word in one ear and the other, out the other, and never produces any fruit. For others, their body language is a dead giveaway that they're not really interested in hearing the word preached or in worshiping the Lord. Well, they sit in church quietly but defiantly. With a hardened heart, they've shut their ears, refusing to listen. For the most part, they resist and fight what they hear preached. Some people today will only hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear about sin and their need for a Savior. All that sin talk simply repulses them. They don't want to hear about God's call to holiness and living a godly life and the demands that God places upon us as Christians in response to the gospel. They don't want to hear about death, about Jesus coming again, a final judgment, and the realities of a heaven and a hell. Those with hardened hearts are spiritually discerned, aren't they? They're at enmity with God. He's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. And they want no part of the kingdom. The seed that falls by the wayside is quickly swooped away by the devil. And they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Second, there is the shallow heart. Listen again to what we read in verses 20 to 21. But he received the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Some seed is sown into rocky ground, rock covered with a thin layer of soil. The seed draws heat from the rock beneath it, causing the plant to sprout very quickly. But unfortunately, the seed cannot develop a good root system in the shallow, rocky soil. And so it quickly withers and dies under the heat of the scorching sun. There are those who hear the gospel of salvation and are initially excited and enthusiastic about what they hear. They respond positively by coming to church faithfully, actively engage in church life. They do and say all the right things. Everything appears to be just wonderful. And we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Unfortunately, their faith is only a temporary faith. A superficial faith, and not a true or lasting faith unto salvation. They never really lost their salvation, but rather, they never truly possessed it. We say, what happened? Well, as Jesus points out, it's sometimes the case that as soon as hardships and trials arise in life, or as soon as persecution and opposition comes up, they immediately fall back and revert to their old ways. The price of true discipleship proves to be too costly. They weren't prepared for a life of self-denial and self-sacrifice. The roots of faith didn't go deep enough because of the rock. The soil of the heart is very shallow. All the change was merely surface. Their initial response was rested on nothing more than feelings and emotions without a heart transformation. The seed of faith didn't penetrate the inner depth of the heart. And this can easily happen, especially in churches where people are told, turn your life to Christ, and all your problems will simply go away. Or we have the Joel Osteen health and wealth type gospels. All you have to do is pray, and the Lord will guarantee you health and wealth. They're told that believing in Jesus will be the solution to all of life's problems. Just ask Jesus into your heart and he will turn your scars into stars. Just ask, and if you have enough faith, you'll receive whatever the heart wishes. The sky's the limit. But congregation, nowhere in Scripture does Jesus ever promise Christians a life of ease? In fact, just the opposite. Scripture warns us that in this life, you will have tribulation. Scripture warns us that just as the world hated Christ, the world will hate those who have faith in Jesus Christ. But for all those whose faith is rooted in shallow soil, they will come to realize the deception, and before too long, revert back to their old ways. The warm, fuzzy emotionalism dissipates. The empty promises turn to disappointment. A shallow faith is only a temporary, a superficial faith. And when their faith is tested and tried, immediately it withers and it dies. There's no roots to sustain it. Initially, their faith gave the appearance of being authentic. But in reality, it wasn't a true faith anchored firmly in the heart. It was a fleeting, a momentary faith, here today and gone tomorrow. And they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And third, there's the worldly heart. Verse 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. As Jesus points out, seed that falls among the thorns will eventually get choked out by those weeds. The weeds will suck up the nutrition and the water from that plant. Eventually, it will outgrow and smother the good plants. What are these thorns? They are the cares of this world. They are the lure and the deceitfulness of riches. They are the counterfeit gods of this age. Money, success, sports, sex, material things, building a great name and reputation for ourselves. A heart preoccupied with the things of this world will suffocate that world, that word, and simply choke it to death. Very simply, congregation, we cannot serve two masters. And when the things of this world become our number one priority, when they become our master, then the word gets choked out and we become unfruitful. While wealth itself is a gift from God, and not an evil, Scripture does warn us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money and the love of the world and the love of the things of this world produces the fruit of worldliness. In James 4, verse 4, we are warned, and friendship with the world is enmity with God. And in 1 John 2:15 we read, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A heart filled with a love for the world and the things of the world will choke out that word. Such a person will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And fourth, there is the receptive heart. Look at verse 23. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produce and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Finally, there's the seed that falls on the good soil. What makes this soil different from the others? The good soil is the heart that has been cultivated by the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, we hear the word, believe the word, and live by the word. Man in his fallen state is spiritually discerned. He cannot know, he cannot receive the spiritual things of God unless he is born again of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit first has to change that spiritually dead heart and make it spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. It has to till this dead heart, this soil. The Holy Spirit must also impart saving faith into the heart, into the lives of the elect of God, by which we not only hear the gospel, but now receive it. The heart, truly transformed by the Spirit, made receptive to the word preached, believing in Jesus Christ, will also bear fruit. What the scriptures say? Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I think any farmer here would be glad with those yields. They're quite remarkable. But notice the progression. The seed that fell on the wayside produced nothing. The seed that fell on shallow rocks sprouted up quickly, quickly withered and died. The seed that fell among the thorns looked very promising, but was choked out by the world. None produced a harvest. The only field producing a harvest was the field that was tilled by the Holy Spirit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of true faith. The fruit of conforming more and more after the image of Christ. The fruit of godly sorrow for sin. The fruit of resisting temptation and avoiding sin. The fruit of crucifying the flesh and the works thereof. The fruit of a holy and godly living. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of good works. The fruit of truly loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The fruit of loving our neighbor as ourselves. The fruit of being light and salt in this world of darkness. The parable serves as a real encouragement to the disciples then and to all of us here today. It reminds us that while so few seem to respond to the preaching of the word, God is ultimately in control. In control of where the seed falls, who will respond, and the harvest. And what does he ask? Be faithful in sowing the seed. The command in Scripture is given to sow, to preach. And preaching is the means by which one hears and believes. And so we must not try, congregation, to be wiser than God and trying to be innovative in worship. Or trying to substitute preaching for cleverly devised marketing ploys designed to draw unbelievers into church that they may enter into the kingdom of God. The parable teaches us that entrance into the kingdom of God is how? Through the preaching of the word. And who will hear? Who will receive? The elect of God. And so, congregation, we need to be faithful. Faithful in doing the task of the church to sow the seed, knowing and believing that God will cause that seed to fall into soil according to His plan of divine election. And so, too, knowing that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is a matter of the heart, the parable calls each one of us this morning to self-examination, doesn't it? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the soil condition of my heart? What is the spiritual condition of my heart? How does my heart respond to the good news of the gospel? Is it falling upon hardened heart? A shallow heart? A worldly heart? Or a heart made receptive by the power and working of the Holy Spirit? And so pray that God will continue to cultivate in us a heart that not only believes by which to enter the kingdom of heaven, but that we may be fruitful Christians to the glory and honor of our great God. Amen. Mm-hmm.